Welcome to the Bookshelf. Tonight, The Rag Man by Mike Ailman.
Rags! Got your rags! Knives! Sharpen your knives!
Ricardo's grandfather heard him just as the rag man entered the alley, though the horse-drawn wagon was still half a block away.
Ricardo, he called to his grandson, who was lying on his bed listening to the last of a White Sox game.
Si, abuelo, ¿qué quieres tú? What do you want?
The rag man's coming. Take that sink and those two tires from under the porch out to the alley. I'll be right there. I'll bring tortillas. Though the White Sox were down 5-2 in the bottom of the seventh and threatening the Yankees with men at first and third with only one out, Ricardo didn't object. First of all, it would be a serious mistake to disobey one of his grandfather's orders. And secondly, Ricardo found the rag man an exciting curiosity. So he snapped off the radio and went out to haul the tires and the sink from under the porch to the alley, where the rag man would place them in the back of his wagon, and he and Ricardo's grandfather would exchange what passed for pleasantries. It puzzled him that the rag man and his grandfather seemed to be such good friends, as if they'd belonged to a secret society or something. It didn't make sense, because his grandfather was not a friendly guy. He was surly and short-tempered, and like Ricardo's father, he drank a great deal, and when he was drinking, he was mean as hell. But whenever the rag man came, if his grandfather was home, he would drift out to the alley, lean on the fence, and talk with the rag man like he'd known him all of his life. The rag man was the only one who could joke with Ricardo's grandfather. No other man dared, and the family was full of stories about the barflies and the railroad workers Ricardo's grandfather had beaten to a bloody pulp over something at which he had taken offense. Ricardo carried the old bathroom sink out to the alley and returned for the tires. He tried to roll both tires at once but lost control of them. One rolled into his grandmother's tomato garden, and the other hit the wicker chair his grandfather sat in at evening time.
Muchacho perezoso, his grandfather called out. You lazy boy. What's the matter with you? Look at abuela's tomatoes. And you hit my chair, damn you. Get those tires out of there. Rápido.
He slapped Ricardo in the back of the head. At 16, Ricardo didn't fear his grandfather as he once had, but he did respect his power, and he did not trust him. When in bad temper, everyone except Ricardo's grandmother avoided Martín Vega, even Ricardo's father, who generally feared no one.
Perdóname, Ricardo said, retrieving the tire from the tomato bed and carrying it to the alley.
The older you get, the dumber you get, his grandfather muttered. It was a phrase Ricardo had become accustomed to hearing, as his father had used it for years. They stood together in the alley, watching the rag man's wagon approaching. The clip-clop of the horseshoes on the cobblestone sounded the steady rhythm of the horse, an old black stallion, as old and black as the ragman himself.
Rags! Got your rags!
The horse came to a stop directly in front of Ricardo and his grandfather. Uncertain, Ricardo stepped back against the fence, but his grandfather merely put out his brown, gnarled hand and placed it against the horse's head. The horse did not object.
Hola, viejo, his grandfather said. You make racket enough to wake the dead.
Don't call me old, you bandit. You were robbing trains before I was born. What do you have for me today? The ragman asked.
Show him,
Ricardo's grandfather instructed. Ricardo leaned over and slapped the two tires.
And this sink here.
Junk, the ragman spat.
Well, you're a junk man, aren't you? Ricardo's grandfather asked. $1 apiece for the tires, the ragman offered. $1? That's robbery.
Take it or leave it.
It's a deal, but what about the sink? It's a good sink. Just climb down and take a close look at it.
I don't get down unless I must.
Hold it up, Ricardo. Let his failing eyes get a good look at it.
Ricardo picked up the sink for the ragman to see.
You see, his grandfather said, it's not chipped or anything. I think $5.
$5, the ragman said disgustedly.
I'll give you $3. That's all I can do.
$3.50, Ricardo's grandfather countered.
Okay, the ragman agreed. But 50 cents goes to the boy for doing the heavy work.
I don't pay my grandson for helping his grandfather.
Well, I don't think I need the tires or the sink. I got plenty of sinks. and those tires are almost as bald as you are.
You old robber. Okay, 50 cents to the boy, but you'll spoil him by treating him so nice.
Somebody has to treat him nice.
After Ricardo lifted the tires and the sink into the wagon, the ragman did something that shocked Ricardo. He reached into his jacket pocket and withdrew a roll of money thick enough to choke the horse. Slowly, he peeled off a $5 bill and held it out for Ricardo's grandfather to take. Then he opened a black coin purse and took out 2 quarters. He handed them directly to Ricardo.
Gracias, Ricardo said, nodding his head.
What's your name, grandson?
Ricardo.
Are you a good boy?
The ragman asked.
Si, senor, I think so.
He's a lazy boy, Ricardo's grandfather said. Y estúpido. He does stupid things.
So maybe he has had a good teacher.
You have something for me?
I have some tortillas, but you don't deserve them. Mi esposa made them fresh just now. They're still warm.
Ricardo's grandfather held up the package of homemade flour tortillas.
I agree that I am not worthy, but I take them anyway. How many?
2 dozen.
Good, let me have them.
Not so fast, bandito. What do you offer in return?
The ragman reached under the wagon seat and produced a brown paper bag.
It, too, is fresh. Made it myself this week. Look how clear.
He opened the bag and drew out a quart jar of golden liquid. He swirled it around.
It looks a little cloudy to me, Ricardo's grandfather objected. Cloudy. It's your old eyes that are cloudy.
They made the exchange simultaneously, as if they didn't trust one another. Ricardo's grandfather unscrewed the jar, sniffed, and took a sip of the whiskey. His eyes glowed. He smacked his lips.
I have to hand it to you, viejo. This may be the best you've ever made.
The ragman smiled and unwrapped the tortillas. He peeled off the top one, rolled it, and took a bite.
Tender as my own heart, he said.
Ricardo's grandfather scoffed.
Tell your spouse if she ever wants a decent man to cook for, the ragman mumbled through his chewing. I have room in my kitchen.
Go on now before I shoot you, Ricardo's grandfather raged.
Well, get out of the way then, or this horse will run you down. Remember, I once galloped this horse across Texas.
Si, yo recuerdo, I remember. Es un caballo grande, a great horse.
You think he remembers those days?
This horse remembers everything. He recognized you, didn't he?
Si, un caballo grande,
Ricardo's grandfather repeated, patting the horse fondly. Then he stepped back. The ragman clucked gently. The horse leaned into his traces, and the wagon rolled on.
Rags! Got your rags!
Grandfather and grandson stood watching in silence, listening to the creaking of the wagon wheels and the sound of the horse's hooves.
I should be a ragman, Ricardo's grandfather began. I always liked living around horses.
How do you know the ragman? Ricardo asked.
He and I rode together.
The ragman? But he's black. I didn't know any black men rode with Pancho Villa. I thought they were all Mexicans.
Lots of men rode with us. He was one of many.
What's his name?
Santiago. Santiago Navarro.
At least that's what he told me. It's probably a lie. We were just boys when we met.
How old is he?
I don't know, but older than I, that's a certainty.
How old are you, abuelo?
You ask too many questions. Go back to your baseball.
A couple weeks after the ragman and his grandfather exchanged the whiskey and the tortillas, Ricardo's father said to him at breakfast on a Saturday morning,
Ricardo, I want you to take that carburetor to Sanchez this morning.
The one I pulled last week. He'll give you $10 for it.
This morning? Can I do it this afternoon? Negros and I were going to buy some records this morning.
No, you can't do it this afternoon. Sanchez is only open until 12 on Saturdays. You and Negros can buy your records afterwards. I need the $10. And don't lose it on the way home.
Walking up 68th Street toward Wentworth Avenue carrying the carburetor in a dirty rag, Ricardo worried and fussed.
He needs the $10 today. What does he need $10 today for?
To drink it up. That's what for. That's all I have to do is run his errands.
his or abuelo's. I'd run away if there was some place to go. I better get a job. That's what I'll do. I'll get a job after school and on Saturdays. Then I won't be in the house to run their errands. Then I won't be home when they're drunk and looking to push me around. Of course, they'll just borrow my money for booze and I'll never see it again. When he reached Wentworth Avenue, Ricardo turned right. There weren't many people on the street. So after three blocks, when he saw the gang standing in front of Blackbird's, a pool hall, he stopped. It wasn't smart to walk alone through those punks. They'd really steal the carburetor and kick his ass in the deal. He turned back, slipped through a gangway between two buildings, and walked to the alley. When he passed the back of the pool hall, he stepped quickly. A couple of guys leaned inside the gangway smoking. They glanced his way but kept talking. Ricardo sped up, checking frequently to see if they were coming after him. No one did. He breathed a sigh of relief but felt anxious until he got to the auto yard. Sanchez was a short, stocky man who weighed about 250 pounds. He smiled a lot and said little. When Ricardo entered the repair yard, Sanchez was sitting on the fender of a 1927 Ford, eating a rolled-up corn tortilla. He was wearing overalls without a shirt. He had very hairy shoulders. "Hey, muchacho, is that the carburetor?" "Si, señor. My father sent it. He said you'd give me $10. "Let's see that," Sanchez said, as he slipped to the ground the springs of the Ford side, relieved of their burden. Ricardo handed him the carburetor. Sanchez unwrapped it and turned it over in his hands a couple of times. "Bueno, good, good." He reached into the pocket of his overalls and pulled out a 5 and 5 ones. He slapped them into Ricardo's open palm. "Adios, muchacho," he said, and turned and walked into his shop. Ricardo put the money in his jeans pocket and walked back down the alley. He quickened his pace as he neared the back of the pool hall, but it was too late. Four of them were leaning against the fence. One of them held the baseball bat in one hand. Three of them wore black leather jackets and faded blue jeans. The other wore a white sweatshirt with the sleeves cut out. He had a tattoo of a dagger on his left shoulder and a diamond tattooed crudely in the skin where his right thumb met the forefinger. Their hair was slicked back in ducks' asses. They were all Mexican, so at first Ricardo hoped he might get by. But he knew better, really. "Hey, Chico," the one in the sweatshirt said. "What you doing around here, man?" "I'm going home. I had to take a carburetor to Sanchez to get fixed. Maybe you know Sanchez." "Knowing Sanchez don't cut any ice with us, Chico. What's your name?"
"Ricardo Vega," he said softly.
"Speak up, man."
"Ricardo Vega," Ricardo repeated louder.
"You're a liar. You're not Ricardo Vega.
Does he look like Ricardo Vega to you, Emiliano?"
"No, Paco. He don't look like Ricardo Vega to me."
"How about you guys? Does he look like Ricardo Vega to you guys?"
"Hell no. He's not Ricardo Vega. The Ricardo Vega we know wouldn't walk through our territory without paying the toll. He's smarter than that."
Ricardo was scared, but not ready to panic. He'd been through this kind of thing before. Not with these guys, but with guys just like them. He knew he couldn't show his fear, for then they'd just beat the hell out of him while they laughed. But if he got aggressive, they'd beat the hell out of him without laughing. That would definitely be worse. He had to stay on middle ground somehow. He had to get them to like him even a little, but he didn't know how he might go about doing that.
"I think you're thinking of my cousin. His name's Ricardo Vega, too," he tried.
They did laugh, but not much.
"Are you trying to be smart with me, man? You don't have a cousin named Ricardo Vega. What, do you think I'm stupid?"
He turned to his compadres.
"See, I told you he was a liar."
The one with the baseball bat began to slap the head of the bat against his palm. Ricardo knew the sound of a bat when it came in contact with someone's head. He stepped away from them until his back was to a garage wall.
"Listen, I never gave you guys any lip or anything. I was just going home. What is it you want from me?"
"He was just going home," Paco said, drawing out the home into a long whine. They laughed.
"You got any money?"
Paco asked. Ricardo knew if he said no, they'd find it and take it anyway, and they'd tack on a few kicks in the ribs for the lying.
$10, he said. You're a lucky kid, Paco said. How much is today's toll, Emiliano?
$10. How about that?
Ricardo knew he was lost and made up his mind to make a stand. He might break Paco's nose if he got in the first blow. That'd be worth something before he got his skull bashed in.
Hey, if it was mine, I'd give it to you, but it's my father's, and he'll beat the hell out of me if I lose it.
And we'll beat the daylight out of you if you don't hand it over. So you got a choice. Who do you want to beat you?
They all heard the noise at the same time and turned to see what it was. They were so occupied they hadn't noticed the ragman's wagon bearing slowly down on them.
Rags!
The ragman called once and drew the wagon to a halt in front of them. No one said anything for a minute. The gang didn't know if this old man was going to be a problem or not. They didn't think so, but were hesitant to start beating Ricardo while the old man was sitting there. In the meantime, the ragman saw what was going on. He recognized Ricardo and knew he was in trouble.
"Hey, old man," Paco said, "we don't have any rags, and we don't need any," Emiliano added. "So why don't you just drive that nag down the alley and leave us to our business," Paco said.
"That's mi amigo, Ricardo da Vega, you have trapped against the garage. I think you better leave him be. Hop up here, Ricardo. I'm on my way to your house to get more tortillas from your grandmother."
"Escuche, bastardo viejo," Paco said. "Listen, you old bastard. You better get out of here before we make glue out of you and your old horse."
"What's your name, jefe?" the ragman asked. "I mean, you are the chief, aren't you? What's your name?"
"Why do you want to know my name, old man? Are you going to tell on me?"
"No, but I like to know the name of the man I am about to shoot. It's a matter of courtesy. I always ask the names of the men I shot."
He tied the reins around the brake handle and slowly began to climb down from the wagon. All four gang members laughed at the ragman's statement, but a hint of nervousness filtered into their laughter as it died away. Emiliano and the other two nameless ones backed away a few steps. Paco held his ground and reached into his back pocket and pulled a switchblade. Click! The blade snapped open. When the ragman reached the ground and turned to face Paco, he was holding a long-barreled, steel-blue .45 caliber revolver in his right hand. It looked like a cannon. The ragman held it steady and pushed it straight into Paco's chest. Paco froze, his eyes wide.
"Jesus," Emiliano whispered.
"That's right," the ragman said. "Pray to Jesus."
"So, jefe," he said to Paco,
"show the boys what a brave chief you are.
Show them you're brave enough to die like a real jefe. You might reach me with that pig sticker. You'll probably get me in the ribs as I pull the trigger. I might die, an old one like me. Es posible."
No one moved. The birds in the trees above the alley sang softly. The breeze rustled the leaves. The sounds of the city on Wentworth Avenue, muffled by the buildings, roared softly. But no one moved.
"Ricardo," the ragman said, "get into the wagon. Take the reins. If I die, you alone my horse. Treat him well. Es un caballo grande."
Ricardo jumped up to the wagon seat, and although he'd never driven a wagon in his life, he unwound the reins from the brake handle.
"You, with the bat. Como te llama?"
"My name is Emiliano," Emiliano said, his voice quivering.
"Emiliano, throw that bat into my wagon, and then come stand next to your jefe."
Emiliano threw the bat into the wagon. He stepped next to Paco.
"Now, take his knife and jam it up his ass."
Ricardo gasped. Paco gasped. They all gasped. He couldn't mean it.
"If you do it, I won't shoot anybody," the ragman said.
"No. Por favor," Paco pleaded in a whisper.
"Listen, you turds. Ricardo's grandfather and I were together with Pancho Villa. We killed more men than you can count. I dragged three men to death myself from the saddle of this horse. This noble horse is not a nag. I rode him from Mexico across Texas and put him on a train, and we rode here to Chicago. Neither of us has forgotten how to kill men,
and stupid boys like you would be nothing.
Diablo, arriba, he shouted, and the horse rose up on his hind legs and screamed a scream like the devil himself. The front wheels of the wagon left the ground, throwing Ricardo off the seat and into the wagon box. The ringing of harness, the rattling of wagon parts, and the crash of the wagon wheels back on the cobblestones sounded like the end of the world.
You see, the ragman said. He hasn't forgotten. He has stomped so many men to death, I have forgotten how many.
No one moved. No one breathed even. The ragman chuckled.
Okay. I won't have your captain push your knife up your ass. It's an embarrassment for a jefe to have his men see such an indignity. But you will never bother Ricardo again, will you?
No, senor, Paco croaked. Speak up, Puerco, you pig. I didn't hear you.
No, senor, we won't bother him.
Who? Who? You won't bother who? Say his name.
Ricardo Vega. We won't bother Ricardo Vega, Paco said loudly. Bueno. Now put your knife away.
The ragman took one step back without lowering his revolver. Paco folded the knife and slipped it back into his pocket.
If you ever bother Ricardo again, his grandfather, Martin, Vega, and I will find you, and we'll kill all four of you. Your dying will be so awful, it will become a Pulha legend. Comprende?
Si, senor, yo comprendo. How about you guys? Do you understand?
Si, senor, we understand.
Bueno, that's good.
The ragman turned and climbed back onto the wagon seat.
What are you doing in the back of the wagon? He asked Ricardo, chuckling.
Some bandito you'd make. Get up here next to me. Take the reins.
The gang members stood rooted in one spot. Go shoot some pool, muchachos. Drink some coffee. Settle your nerves. And think how close you came to dying today.
The four boys turned and walked quickly through the gangway toward the front of the pool hall. Not one looked back.
Take us to your house, Ricardo.
I don't know how to drive a wagon, Ricardo confessed.
You don't have to know. The horse knows. Horses are like women. They are smarter than men. They let the man think he is in charge. Just snap the reins a little.
Ricardo snapped the reins, and Diablo moved into a slow walk. They rode in silence through the alleys, the horse stopping for traffic at the side streets, and then walking on as if he'd inhabited the alleys of Chicago his whole life.
Did you see their faces? The ragman laughed softly.
Ricardo didn't know what to say, except to be thankful.
Muchas gracias. I wouldn't have lasted 2 minutes.
No, you wouldn't. But that wouldn't be your fault. 4-1 is not easy. Not even for me when I was young. 3 maybe, and 2 most certainly, but never 4.
Whoa, Diablo, the ragman said when they reached Ricardo's back gate.
Ricardo handed the ragman the reins and climbed down from the wagon.
Should I tell my grandfather and my father?
No, they would only cause trouble.
It can remain between you and me.
Adios, muchacho.
Adios, Señor Navarro, Ricardo said, reaching up and shaking hands with the ragman, who snapped the reins softly on the horse's butt and rolled slowly down the alley.
Rags, he sang out proudly.
The Ragman, written and read by Mike Ailman.